This is Matt. I'm the lead pastor at Westminster Baptist Church. Thanks for engaging God's word with us. My prayer for you is that this would be supplemental to your discipleship journey. If we can connect you with a local church or a discipleship group, please contact us at info@discoverwbc.com.
What are two things that have happened over the past year that have drained the most life out of you? Two experiences, situations, illnesses, losses that have drained the most life out of you over the past year or two. My main point this morning is that sin drains life. Sin drains life. It wants to drain you. It wants to destroy you. It wants to rob you of joy and peace. And Satan knows really well how to do it. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 through 39 this morning. It says, "For if we deliberately go on sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire about to consume the adversaries. Anyone who disregarded the law of Moses died without mercy, based on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think one will deserve who has trampled on the Son of God, who has regarded as profane the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know the one who has said, 'Vengeance belongs to me, I will repay,' and again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Stop there, and here's what we see. We see God has vengeance, punishment. God will judge, and there's fire. That is our God because people hurt people. And because we have a disrupted relationship with the Father, there is a God whom we call Father because he has chosen us and adopted us, who will protect us. There's a God who loves you enough that if we experience the terrible things of this world, he still cares about you. So I want you to think about, when you read through this, I want you to think about this. Is my God powerful enough to exact this kind of vengeance upon people in this world? Yes. Why? Because we need a God that's that strong. We need a God that can do that. If our God can't do that, then how will we be saved? Because you know how strong the devil is. You know how strong Satan is. Because you've experienced his pain. Tell me two things. Two things that over the past year have robbed you of life. And I'll tell you this, the devil wants to use that to destroy you. But my God wants to use that for your good. You see, we're all going to experience hell on earth for our entire life. But we can either let the devil use it for him, or we can let God use it for his good and our good. We can either let the devil take it and disrupt our lives with it, or we can let God use it for his glory, for our good, to bring about glory and good for the world. So yes, it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God, but I want to show you some things about this verse that are really important first. He says, for if. It doesn't say for when, it says for if. That means that this might not happen. But as Bible-believing Christians, we believe that this is truth. So that means that what it says is true. If we deliberately go on sinning, there's no sacrifice left for you. There's no forgiveness left for you. There is only judgment. There's no mercy. There's punishment. And there's vengeance for you. That is true. We cannot wipe the Bible away from the truth that it says. We have to deal with this difficult passage. This passage is saying that if you deliberately sin, you're not going to be you're going to be without mercy. So we ask the question, can you lose your salvation? As I've told you so many times before, I think it's the wrong question. I think the real answer here is, are we people who deliberately go on sinning? Are we people who deliberately go on sinning? Because if so, then we are people who don't have mercy, don't have forgiveness. That vengeance is going to be towards us, that we're going to fall into the hands of the living God who is capable of these things. So are we a people who continue in deliberate sin? So you look at that first verse, for if we deliberately go on sinning. So then you should ask, what is deliberate sin then? All right, so I want to define deliberate sin, first of all, by scripture, because it says in Numbers 15:30, which it's going to be quoted in Psalms, quoted in Deuteronomy, it's quoted throughout the Old Testament. But first, in Numbers 15:30, it says this, but the person who acts defiantly, whether native or resident alien, blasphemes the Lord, that person is to be cut off from his people. All right, so what is deliberate sin? From the Old Testament, this defiance, this is blaspheming the Lord. So deliberate sin blasphemes the Lord. Let me put it in a way that makes sense probably for our culture. Deliberate sin is when you choose your will and you don't care about God's will. Sin is when you choose your will instead of God's will. Deliberate sin is when you choose your will and you could care less about God's will. All right, so the difference there is in one, you're fighting, and in the other, you're giving in. With deliberate sin, we say, I want what I want, and I could care less what God wants for me. With sin struggle, we say, I want what I want, I know it, but I'm going to fight to do what God wants for me. All right? So if you want to be a person who is not committing this deliberate sin, you've got to actively ask yourself, am I doing what I want and I don't care about what God wants, which often looks like justifying, like, oh, this probably isn't that bad. Well, let me give you a couple other ways you can understand if it's deliberate sin. You stopped praying about it. You stopped asking God if he would intervene. God, I need you to overcome this sin. I can't do it myself. Will you help me? If you stop doing that, you've probably just given into it and said, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. I don't care what God wants. Or if you stop sharing it with people around you. And I'm not talking about the Facebook thing where people just share and broadcast their problems so that people will give them sympathy and recognition. That is not gospel-centered transformation. That is about your glory and your glory alone. Go to people who care about you and desperately want what is good for you in the name of Jesus Christ and ask them to keep you accountable and walk with you through seasons of struggle. All right, so that's overcoming deliberate sin. Another deliberate sin is where you've repented from it. You said, this is, God, I know this is sin, and I don't want to do this anymore. So you may be in one of those stages. You may be at the repentance part, the prayer part, or surrounding yourself with other believers part. But you know what's awesome about this? The pastor in Hebrews who's written this for us has already given us the tools to not fall into deliberate sin. Y'all remember last week? Let us hold on, let us draw near, and let us consider one another to provoke to love and good deeds. He's already given us the recipe for how to overcome and not be falling into this deliberate sin. Look, if you don't want to fall into deliberate sin, what should you do? Draw near to Jesus. In prayer and in meditation, I'm drawing near to Jesus so that I'm not drawing near to deliberate sin. I'm holding on to the confession of my hope, knowing that there's something greater for me, and I'm considering one another to say, I need you to help me not fall into this sin. I need others around me. If you stop doing those things, you're probably already starting deliberate sin. So if you want to really diagnose these things, recognize, are you working harder to get your sin or to stop your sin? Are you working harder to do your will or to do the Father's will? Y'all, I'm not talking about just anger. Not that that's not huge. Or cheating or stealing or lying. I'm not talking about just a struggle with pornography or a struggle with overindulging in food or overindulging in alcohol. I'm not talking about just sin struggles that we talk about commonplace in church. I'm also talking about those times where God has called you to a ministry, or God has called you to a person and you've rejected him, or I have rejected him. Those moments in our life where it's not just about what we shouldn't do, but it's about what we should have done. That's also not doing the will of the Father. When we don't do God's will and said we do our will, that is active, deliberate sin, because we don't care about what God wants for us. We just do whatever we want. Deliberate sin. But that's not us. This is not our story. I want to tell you the truth. If we continue in deliberate sin, we'll face these things. But that's not your story. That's not who you are. You're a child of God. God's going to take what you've experienced and he's going to make it good. He's going to turn it into good. He's going to bring him glory and it's going to help this world because God's going to use you as an agent of transformation. I believe that God is not going to leave you in your pain and your suffering, but God's going to restore you and he's going to bring you up and he's going to take that experience and he's going to use it for your good. And you are eventually going to be able to use that for the good of others. I'm not telling you, you're not going to experience terrible things in this world. Satan is trying to kill you, steal everything from you, and destroy your life. But what I am telling you, in the midst of all that pain, there is a God who cares about you. I'm not telling you that you experience these things because God hates you. I'm telling you that God can use those experiences because God loves you. He wants good for you. And he's not finished with you because he loves you as a child of his, as a daughter or a son. So remember your stories. Look at how it continues. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. Remember the earlier days when after you had been enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to taunts and afflictions. And at other times, you were companions of those who were treated that way. For you sympathized with the prisoners and accepted with joy the confiscation of your possessions, because you know that you yourselves have a better and enduring possession. You see that? Because you know that you have a better and enduring possession. That's my God taking bad things and using them for good. Because I know that I have a better and enduring possession. But I want to show you a few things here. First, hard struggle with sufferings. We're going to endure hard struggle with sufferings. But it's because of that that this pastor can go and say to them, you've been faithful, don't forget. I love that the pastor can even recognize this because you know what it means? It means he knows them. He knows the people he's writing to. And he's writing to them saying, I know who you are. I know who you are. You are not one of these deliberate sinning, struggling, but giving up, following their will instead of the will of the Father. That's not who you are. Brothers and sisters at Westminster Baptist Church in this room right now and those listening online, I believe that God can use you and will use you. You are not the one who continues in deliberate sin. Be who you are. You're a child of God. Now, for those who have faith, that is your story. This is your story. The hard struggle with sufferings is our story. All of us, every human being on earth is going to experience these things. Verse 33 says, sometimes you're publicly exposed to taunts and afflictions, but sometimes they were exposed to that. But then it says, and also you were with companions. You were companions too, or you were with people who experienced these things. Y'all, be around people. Be around people who have suffered for Christ and remained faithful. Be around people who have done missions in places where when you speak the gospel, you might be killed. Be around those people because they've remained faithful even though they were publicly taunted or thrown into jail and their possessions were taken from them or they were threatened to be killed. Be around those people because those are the people that share the stories that we can be encouraged by to say, okay, we can endure because we are endurers. We're not giving up. It says you were companions of those who were treated this way. Who are you around that can show you what it looks like to be faithful in the midst of public taunts and afflictions? And in verse 34, it says, you sympathized with the prisoners. Y'all remember just a few chapters ago, it said that Jesus sympathizes in our weaknesses. In our sin struggle, Jesus knows why, because he came to earth and he experienced the same temptations and the same physical struggle and the same loss of friends and family as we do. And yet he endured. And then it tells us, we sympathize. Now, I know what it's like to suffer. I know what it's like to experience rejection. I know what it's like to be ridiculed. I know what it's like to suffer in this world. And I want to encourage you to remain faithful. So, brothers and sisters, you can look to your right and your left, and you can look to each other and say, we can endure. We're not the ones who give up and deliberately sin, who blaspheme God and reject God's will. We're the ones who continue in faith, and are saved. That's our story. Just like in 32 to 34, it's their story. This is our story. We are going to remain faithful. Let me see. And let me show you the challenge. Verse 35. So don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. You know what that means? You know you're saved. Don't give that up. You're assured of your salvation because God is working in you. You're not saved because you've worked, but you are assured of your salvation because you've worked. Because God has been working through you, you can see the love and good works, it says, to provoke towards love and good works. When you see those things, you can say, I'm a believer in Christ. My God has transformed me. I'm clearly adopted by Him. I'm a child of God. You can know that you're being held by God in His hand, and that, as John 10 says, no one can steal you from that hand. Jesus is holding you. It's good to be known by God, because I know that if He knows me, He's not going to let me go. I'm not going to experience the wrath because I'm His child. And if that's true, this is my story. Verse 36, for you need endurance so that after you've done God's will, you may receive what is promised. That I'm going to receive what is promised after I've done God's will. Because I've seen what God can do in my life. I know that what has been promised is coming. That's my confidence. That's my hope. We learned last week, let us hold on to the confession. What we're holding on to is that I know God has something for me. It's far greater than what this world wants for me. You see, deliberate sin is choosing what this world wants and not caring what God wants. And so what happens is I choose what this world wants and I get what this world has. Hell on earth and hell for eternity. Or I can choose what God wants and get what God has. His presence, His life, His joy and peace for eternity. That's our story. And we're challenged to endure because we know that we have a confidence that is secured by our God working in us and showing that we have love and good works. And that means that we are not those who deliberately continue in sin. So brothers and sisters, don't doubt. People ask me all the time, and I've told you guys, I don't like the question necessarily, but it's okay for us to ask it. Can you lose your salvation? What I want to just work with us and myself on is, can I know I'm saved? Can I be assured that I'm saved? If so, then I can be assured that my God's not going to let me go. Because I know that it's almost like you want to, I feel like sometimes when I'm reading through this, fellow theologians, I'm reading through this and it's like, Hebrews 10, I just want to like pull Romans 8 and just like make sure everybody knows you're more than conquerors in there and that that God's not going to let you go. Like John 10, pull it up in there. Like Ephesians 1, you've been called. He's not going to let you go. You're going to see it off to the end. You have a guarantee of your salvation, which is the Spirit in you. The guarantee. It's guaranteed, right? I want to pull those in here and like just show everybody this is what you have. Is it true that if you continue to deliberately sin, that you will there will be no forgiveness for you? You're going to have no mercy and the fire and all these things. Yeah, that's true. Scripture is true. But is that your story? No. Because you're a child of God. And it's almost like, you know, have you ever had the teacher? I don't necessarily like the phrase, but have you ever had a teacher that told you, like, you're 8 years old. Act like you're 8. Y'all ever had that? Act your age. And I'm like, well, they define their age by how they act. So, I almost want to be like, sometimes I just need to go, like, Matt, act out who you are. Like, this is who you are. Not fake, not theater, not what they did in that time of putting on masks. But be who you are. Be who God has created you to be. Don't be what the world wants you to be. Don't be what somebody else wants you to be. Be who God wants you to be. Be what you were created to be. So we receive this challenge to endure. And it ends like this in verse 37. For yet in a very little while, the coming one will come and not delay. So we know that Jesus is coming and He's going to see one of two things, 38 or 39. All right, so you're going to be a person of 38 or a person of 39. This is what God is coming back and going to see. A person of 38 or 39. So let's read it together. 38. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he draws back, I have no pleasure in him. Or, verse 39, but we are not those who draw back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and are saved. That is our story. That is who you are. I'm not somebody who draws back. I'm not somebody who starts the journey. I'm not, as Jesus uses the illustration, some seed that goes into the ground and starts to sprout up and then is trampled on. I'm not going to start. I'm not going to just want what Jesus has, but not want Jesus. I'm not just going to want heaven without wanting God. I'm not just going to want bliss and gold roads and nice things and a big table and a big house and all of those things in heaven. I want God. So you have to ask yourself today, do I want to be 38 or 39? Do I want to start this thing and just like want what Jesus has, or do I want who Jesus is? Do I want to be verse 39, but we are not those who draw back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and are saved. That's who you are. So if I could, what I would do is I would take last week and this week and put them together and it sound like something like this. Let us draw near, hold on, and consider one another, so that we don't deliberately sin, but instead we endure in faithfulness. That I would remember the story of endurance. That I would receive the challenge to endure. And that I would be who I am. I am a conqueror and I endure. And that's what you do too. I want to share with you a story. I'm going to struggle to share it because I'm a little sick. And the irony of it is, I was sick in the story. The reason is, we have three little carriers that live in our house. And I love them. Man, it's been a journey. I have no fever today, God's grace. But I'm staying completely away from you guys. Not because I don't love you. Anyways, let me tell you the story. And I promise it has a point. But it's going to take a while to get there. And as we go through it, you're going to think, man, this guy's gross. And you're right. Also, I'm going to apologize on the front end to Pastor Bill. But let's continue. Dirty clothes hampers. You guys know what those are, right? They're not the clean clothes baskets. There's a difference. In my younger years, when I first got married, I didn't know the difference. In fact, I didn't even know what doing laundry was like because I was a boy in college. Until I got married, I didn't know anything about laundry because all I did was I sweated and I was stinky, and then I would throw my clothes on the ground and then sometimes shove them under the bed and then get them back out and wonder if they were clean. So I just put them on, and then you just spray cologne on there. Now I know that some of you guys did the same thing, but maybe you didn't do this thing. But I do know this. When you got married, you were like a little puppy that needed to be trained. And I'm not going to have you answer. I want your wives to answer. Am I right? You had to train your spouse to do laundry the right way. Okay, here might be what happened. I see a lot of wives out there holding their husband. All right, here's probably what happened. Your husband thought it was okay to shower, dry off with a towel, and then throw in the dirty clothes. And you had to show him that that was sinful, because when water gets into the dirty clothes hamper, it makes everything else smell because it gets it all moist and nasty, right? Well, I like to run. You may like to work out. If you're sweaty, like I sweat, and smell like I smell, and then you throw that in the dirty clothes hamper, you know what happens? Everything else in there stinks. And women have no stench. They just smell perfect all the time, 24/7. So, and let me just take this moment right now to say this. Nothing in this story at all is the fault of my wife. She's wonderful. She trained me. She trained me well. Everything in this story that is wrong is because of me. And it's true. Okay, so here's what happened. I told you guys this. My family got the norovirus. The norovirus is a stomach bug that will disrupt your entire life. It's awful. It's not the worst thing in the world, but it's pretty rough. My son laid in my arms for the entire night and threw up 21 times. It was disgusting. It was so bad that our comforter was so plagued that we just threw it away. I took it to the dump, and I gave everybody on the way the norovirus. I just threw it in there and just said bye. Like, bought a new one at, anyways. not only that, but norovirus has a stench. You walk through your house and you're like, we had all five people had norovirus at the same time. My mom came a week later and got the same stomach bug. It just carried, like, don't come to my house. It carried over. My house is infecting people. That's how bad this thing is. You walk, I'm not kidding. I asked my wife, she was in here in the last service. I said, everything's the same. You walk through my house and there is a war zone in there. There was throw up with a towel over it. Like, didn't make it to the bathroom. One of my kiddos, like, towel. Like, all everywhere. Just spray it. Just shoot it with spray. Throw a towel over it. That's all you got. Because you can't move. If you've had it, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, go watch a video. It'll be disgusting. So this whole experience, war zone, smells. My house still smells like norovirus. We can't get it out of there. I'm serious. It was awful. But here's what happened. Dirty clothes hampers are the tall, skinny ones. Clean clothes baskets are the wide ones that you can fold and then put them in there without, like, messing them up too bad. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. So clean clothes, I always get stuff out of there and I'll just put it on, even if it's not folded and put in the right spot. Again, none of this is my wife's fault. What happened was we had so much dirty clothes, so many dirty towels, that it overflowed out of one into others. I didn't know this. And like every good man in the world, I didn't ask any questions. I just acted, because that's what we do. Why ask a question? A question like, hey, are these dirty and infected with a stomach bug? Have these been washing around in soup for the past week, sitting in this dirty clothes basket? I didn't ask that question. I instead just put on some clothes straight from the basket. And I can see Bill out in the lobby, and I just want to apologize to him, because just a couple days later, he was infected with a norovirus. And I'm sure, and I apologize, Catherine and Casey, for both of you, I'm sure I stunk that week because I wore clothes that were covered in throw up. And that's disgusting, but that's because I didn't ask questions. And I told you that this was leading to a point, not just to show that I'm stupid. The point is, sin spreads. And y'all, sickness is awful. I can't stand it. We've had pink eye, strep, flu, stomach bug, bronchitis, like the whole lot of it. My family has had everything from A to Z, it seems like, over the past few months. And all of it's terrible. But nothing compares to what sin wants to do. Sin wants to drain you of all of your life. And not only that, it spreads to everybody else. It shows on your life. You wear it on your chest. People see it and experience it from you, and it's going to spread to other people. So when God comes to us and he says, don't continue deliberately sinning, it's because God knows that you're going to face sufferings in this world, and all sin's going to do is sneak into those sufferings and seek to destroy you and kill you. It's going to use those sufferings to twist your life. Sure, we had the stomach bug, but the devil wanted to just twist it. He wants to use those things to destroy you. But my God can use it for good. So, brothers and sisters, you are not the one who falls back. You are those who continue in faith and are saved. Your story is not the story of deliberate sin. So live with that truth. Bring it out into the open. I want to give you a few gospel responses like this. Pray to Jesus. Ask him for help. If you're not praying to Jesus, like I said, you're probably already in deliberate sin. Pray to him and ask, God, give me strength to overcome this sin right now. I need you. Second, I want you to bring this to others. I want you to bring it in front of others. If you haven't done it, you're probably in deliberate sin. Surround yourself with believers who can fight this battle with you so that you're not alone. You need one another to be able to fight the battles that you face today. And God gave you each other so that you can fight these battles. We saw the story of their endurance. I want to know your endurance. I want to know that time where you endured. So will you reflect on endurance? I want you to think about that time in your life where you were being persecuted or suffering. You were in the midst of the worst illness. Two things over the past year or two that have tried to rob you of your life. I want to know how you were faithful in the midst of it. I want to know the times that you landed on your knees in prayer. I want to know the times you opened up the Word and found truth that kept you going. I want to know the times that you wanted to get angry, but you took it back because you know that Jesus has something better for you. I want to know when you were enduring in the midst of those two difficult things in your life and you didn't give up, because you are endurers. You are conquerors. You're not falling back. It's who you are. So I want to know your story, me personally, but also people around you, to know your story that you're not giving up. To know that God can use terrible things for good, because He is a God who cares about us despite our terrible things that we face. He wants to be with you in the pain, to sympathize with you in the suffering, not to abandon you. And finally, would you have faith? Man, you may be close. Those two things. You may be close to giving up. Don't give up. Don't give in to the things of this world and stop following the will of God because you're tired, because it's been too hard. Don't give up. That's not your story. It's not who you are. You need to know who you are before you'll do what you've been called to do. It's not who you are. You're conquerors. So as the band comes, I want to give you your one way. This is one way that you can live this out this week, because I know that somebody in here, you're facing one of two things. You're either facing, you're thinking in your mind right now, Matt, I'm living in deliberate sin that I've communicated to no one, stopped asking God for help. I don't bring it out for accountability. You're like, I'm living in this sin. If you are, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to email counsel@discoverwbc.com. It's your first step. counsel@discoverwbc.com. It's private to the pastors. You'll get access to somebody who trusts, you can trust, and who loves you, and you can start the journey of healing. Maybe you're in here today and you're like, I'm not living in deliberate sin, but I know there's something in my life that Satan is using to try and move me towards deliberate sin. Because Satan's always doing it. He's not going to stop until he's destroyed you. So whatever Satan's trying to do, here's what I want you to do. I want you to lock in on that thing that Satan's trying to disrupt your life with, destroy you, kill you, steal from you. I want you to lock in on that thing. I want you to bring it to God and bring it to others. And say, God, I need help. And my brother or sister, I need help. Maybe you don't need counseling for that. Maybe you need your life group. Maybe you need D group. Maybe you need your Sunday school. Whatever it is, bring it up to them and bring it up to the Father. I need help. We need help. Every single one of us are in this category because the devil is attacking every single one of us and trying to make what is a struggle with sin a deliberate sin. And the only difference between the two is in one, you care about God's will, and in the other, you stopped caring about God's will. And the devil is good at twisting things. Let me pray for you. God, you reign. The devil doesn't. Your wrath, your strength, and your mercy and your grace, all of these things are so good. The devil has nothing on us compared to what you have. And so, Father, would you extend grace and mercy to the people in this room today, that you might strengthen them and prepare them for the battle that they face in this world. Pray, God, that you'd give us the understanding of what sin does and how it drains our life. May you, Father, give us joy and peace in the midst of the suffering of this world, that we might bring you glory and do your will. We love you, Father, in your Son's name. Amen.
you have any questions about the sermon or would like to know more about following after Jesus, please contact us and we would love to talk more about your relationship with Christ and how you can grow in your spiritual journey.